Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you this evening for another opportunity to gather together and study your word and then be able to pray as brothers and sisters in Christ. I pray, Father, that you would have your will and your way in every part and aspect of the service. And Lord, I pray for those who aren't able to be with us. I pray that you would encourage their hearts. Thank you, Lord, for the Zoom technology that allows us to have a fellowship virtually with those who can't be here in person. And Lord, I pray that you would encourage their hearts as well. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. All right. I would encourage you to turn in your Bibles to, guess what?
Psalm 23.
There we go. Psalm 23. Okay. All right. Psalm 23. We're finishing up Psalm 23 with the last part of verse 6. So as we've learned over the last few weeks studying Psalm 23, this poem is the picture of a contented sheep in the care of his loving shepherd through the course of the year. I say poem, it's actually a hymn, okay? It was a Hebrew hymn, which is poetic. The shepherd then has led the sheep out of the winter home pastures through the mountain valleys and passes up to the upland pastures, the tablelands, where they've been enjoying the rich pastures of higher ground. Now, as the fall season has arrived, the shepherd has led the sheep back to the home pastures, to the permanent home of the shepherd. And as verse 6 brings the psalm to a close, David looks to the security and permanent home awaiting him someday in the house of the Lord, his good shepherd. So let's read this final verse in this hymn. If you'll follow along in your Bibles as I read it for us. Psalm 23, verse 6, "Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." By the way, I think both the King James Version and the New American Standard Bible, whenever you see "Lord" in all capital letters, it's translating what Hebrew word? Quiz here. Yahweh or Jehovah, okay? Sometimes you'll see G-O-D all in capital letters, which means they usually have "Lord" in lowercase letters, which translates another Hebrew word, but they say "Lord God," and it's "Lord Jehovah," technically. So just there to keep in mind what you're seeing. Okay, the most obvious question then to ask as we study the last part of verse 6 is this: what is meant by the house of the Lord? In a certain sense, the house of the Lord is the place where God dwells, where his presence is real and evident. So in a sense, in this life, before you leave this world, anywhere you are in God's presence is his house. And in a similar sense, every time you in private draw near to God in prayer, in worship, in praise, you are in his house. And every time we meet together as God's people to come before his presence with praise, worship, prayer, and the preaching of his word, we are in his house. So in a sense, we are in God's house right now. Do you see why I'm kind of careful about what we do in church, especially the auditorium, which is the preaching place? This is why I don't let kids run around and scream and yell and kick balls around or whatever, okay? Because it is his house in this very real sense. So just to move on here to Psalm 23, in a more literal sense, the house of the Lord refers to the eternal city, the New Jerusalem, presently located in heaven. By the way, I keep calling it the New Jerusalem, but technically the Bible just calls it Jerusalem. I thought it was very interesting as I was studying for this yesterday. I realized, sometimes it says new, but new is in lowercase letters, and Jerusalem is, in capitalized. And then in other places, it doesn't even say new, it just says Jerusalem. So Interesting. But I'll still call it New Jerusalem as opposed to the old Jerusalem that's over in Israel right now. Listen to what the Good Shepherd tells us in John chapter 14, verses 2 and 3. The Lord Jesus says this. He's our Good Shepherd, obviously. He says, "In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you, for I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also." That's the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's kind of wonderful to have that recorded and have him tell us about that. I'd also like to read a longer passage, so I invite you to turn with me in your Bible to Revelation chapter 21 and verse 1. We're going to read all the way through chapter 22, verse 5. So, Revelation 21, verses 1 through 22, verse 5. So, would you follow along as I read this passage aloud for us? Revelation 21, verse 1. "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth passed away, and there is no longer any sea. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, made ready as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Behold, the tabernacle of God is among men, and he will dwell among them, and they shall be his people, and God himself will be among them.'" By the way, the word tabernacle used here is the word for kind of like a large tent. But when it's used, when the word tabernacle is used, it's used as a dwelling place. Okay, so that's the key. Not that it's made of tent, but that it's a dwelling place, but it's temporary. Okay, he will dwell among them, and they shall be his people, and God himself will be among them. And he will wipe every tear from their eyes, and there will no longer be any death. There will no longer be any mourning, or crying, or pain. The first things have passed away. And he who sits on the throne said, "Behold, I am making all things new." And he said, "Write, for these words are faithful and true." Then he said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give to the one who thirsts from the spring of the water of life without cost. He who overcomes will inherit these things, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. But for the cowardly and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and immoral persons and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars, their part will be in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." Then one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls full of the seven last plagues came and spoke with me, saying, "Come here, I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb." And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me the holy city, Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. Her brilliance was like a very costly stone, as a stone of crystal clear jasper. It had a great and high wall with 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and names were written on them, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the sons of Israel. There were 3 gates on the east, and 3 gates on the north, and 3 gates on the south, and 3 gates on the west. And the wall of the city had 12 foundation stones, and on them were the 12 names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. The one who spoke with me had a gold measuring rod to measure the city, and its gates and its wall. The city is laid out as a square, and its length is as great as the width. And he measured the city with a rod, 1,500 miles, that's literally in the Greek, 12,000 stadia. Its length and width and height are equal. And he measured its wall, 72 yards, literally 144 cubits, according to human measurements, which are also angelic measurements. why am I translating into stadia and cubits? I want you to catch the numbers, okay? 12,000 stadia times 12,000 stadia will give you 144 million, okay? So, interesting how the Bible is using 144, okay? Just keep that in mind. And that's why I wanted to bring out the fact that the 72 yards, okay, is literally 144 cubits. In fact, I think the King James uses cubits there, okay? So, interesting how the translators are trying to get it into our measurements, but then you miss that 144, okay? So I just wanted you to catch that. Verse 18, the material of the wall was jasper, and the city was pure gold like clear glass. The foundation stones of the city wall were adorned with every kind of precious stone. The first foundation stone was jasper, the second, sapphire, the third, chalcedony, the fourth, emerald, the fifth, sardonyx, the sixth, sardius, the seventh, chrysolite, the eighth, beryl, the ninth, topaz, the tenth, chrysoprase, the 11th, jacinth, the 12th, amethyst. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Each one of the gates was a single pearl. And the street of the city was pure gold, like transparent glass. I saw no temple in it, for the Lord God, the Almighty, and the Lamb are its temple. And the city has no need of the sun or of the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God has illumined it, and its lamp is the Lamb. The nations will walk by its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their glory into it. In the daytime, for there will be no night there, its gates will never be closed, and they will bring the glory and the honor of the nations into it. And nothing unclean, and no one who practices abomination and lying shall ever come into it, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And then in Revelation 22, verse 1, then he showed me a river of the water of life, clear as crystal, coming from the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the middle of its street, on either side of the river, was the tree of life, bearing 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. There will no longer be any curse, and the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it, and his bondservants will serve him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. And there will no longer be any night, and they will not have need of the light of a lamp, nor the light of the sun, because the Lord God will illumine them, and they will reign forever and ever. Thank you for bearing with me in the long text reading, but I wanted you to get that. I wanted you to see that picture of the New Jerusalem. Now, as we apply personally the message of Psalm 23, verse 6, notice the confidence with which we can look forward to our eternal home with him. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The two words I will express the message that there's no doubt or uncertainty about what follows in the rest of the statement. The next word, dwell, expresses the sense of close fellowship and belonging and security. This is where the word dwelling gives the idea of a place where you live. And there is that sense of belonging and security. The next word, forever, expresses the sense of a permanent, never-ending home with him for eternity. Wow. No wonder David wrote one of the most beautiful and moving psalms expressing his great joy in belonging to the Lord. If you've truly repented of your sins and placed your faith and trust in Christ alone to save you from sin and hell, then no matter what you are enduring today, no matter what you will face tomorrow, you can rejoice in the security of belonging to the Lord and knowing assuredly that you will dwell with him forever in his eternal home. This is why a Christian is not upset when death when he faces death, because it's something that he knows is better, because he will be with his Savior, his Good Shepherd. And as I just read a very detailed description of your home address, the New Jerusalem, wow, what a wonderful place that will be. You know, I've joked to my wife that maybe when I get to heaven, I'll be able to sleep. And I think, wait, I won't need to sleep. So isn't that something to be able to have 24/7 being able to be awake, alert, and doing wonderful things, serving our Lord and worshiping Him. So I want to just encourage you with what you have to look forward to. The Lord is your shepherd. And David wrote this psalm, and he knew him. So I trust that you do too. It's a rather short challenge here, but I just want to leave you with that. I hope that you will rejoice in the home that you have awaiting you, but more importantly, the Savior that you will be able to see face to face someday.